There are scientific studies in the newspaper that raise an eyebrow, and then there are the rarities that elicit no less than a cheer. Today, our newspapers informed us that being a little overweight might not be all that bad for you. In some cases, maybe even better. 2 years ago, a group of medical researchers led by Dr. Catherine Flegel reported that overweight people have a lower death rate than people who are normal weight, underweight, or obese. Now, for the first time, these researchers have linked which diseases, including diabetes, lung disease, and Alzheimer's, that each weight group is at greater risk for. Today, we'll talk to one expert about just how much weight is too much and if it's sometimes healthier to be full-figured. If you have a question about the relationship of weight to your health, join the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. With us now is Dr. Timothy Church, a physician researcher and director of preventive medicine research at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with us today from the studios of our member station there, WRKF. Nice to have you on the program today.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I suspect that the first thing you're going to advise us is that we probably shouldn't celebrate this with a box of Krispy Kremes.
Yeah, no, certainly that's probably not a good start.
Being obese is still a major problem in this country.
No, it absolutely is. And I think one of the important points that needs to get across right off the bat is that, you know, we scientists love to use these categories which are confusing to everybody else. And in this instance, those categories are these weight categories, which sound relatively simple, but they're not. And it's the idea of normal weight, overweight, and obese. And they're based off of BMI, which is
a body mass index, which a lot of people find confusing to begin with.
It's horrendously confusing. But just this is a simple way to appreciate what overweight is. Overweight is 1 to 30 pounds more than what you theoretically should weigh. Obese is 30 pounds or more than what you theoretically should weigh. And the problem is most people hear the word overweight, they lump overweight and obese together, and they think, wow, if I'm 100 pounds overweight and someone says it's okay to be, overweight, then I'm okay. But it's not. There's a big difference between being overweight and clinically obese.
Mm-hmm. So that distinction given, it turns out that in some cases, in some diseases, being overweight is a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, interestingly, and it's kind of no surprise, the diseases, you know, that are associated with having to survive an illness. And you would suspect that if someone gets ill and their body's really taxed, that maybe having a little bit of extra weight would help them survive that. And that's kind of what this paper pointed out. But that was a relatively kind of minor finding of this paper. The more major findings were, man, being overweight doesn't really carry that much risk for the real big diseases, you know, obesity. I mean, not obesity, but cardiovascular disease and cancer and those type illnesses.
Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, infections, lung disease, and lung cancer, you might be a little bit better off.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, diseases where probably, you know, when you're fighting those diseases, having a little bit extra weight for energy stores may be of an advantage.
And it does suggest that, in fact, that whole question, for a long time, people thought you really had to be very, very lean, what most people would regard as skinny, if you were going to be healthy. Now it appears the question of weight and health is a little blurrier.
No, I would say it's been blurry. And this is helping us maybe clarify it a little bit, though. For someone who doesn't talk about this every day, it may not seem so. It needs to be emphasized that these results show that being obese, 30 pounds or more overweight, still clearly puts you at risk for cardiovascular disease and clearly puts you at risk for certain types of cancer. And I think there's another real important point, and that is for overweight and obese individuals, that you're really at risk for dying from diabetes. And diabetes is a devastating disease, which is kind of reaching epidemic proportions within the U.S.
It certainly is. We used to call it child onset, and we don't call it that anymore.
No, no. Or adult onset is no longer adult onset, because unfortunately we're seeing children get it.
We're talking with Dr. Timothy Church about a study that the results appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association that's tied various weight classes, and again, these are tied to BMI or body mass index, to the likelihood that those people may die from certain diseases, and suggested that at least in some cases, a little bit overweight is not such a bad thing. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And let's begin with David. David's calling us from Akron, Ohio.
Well, hi there.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to call and make the comment about some recent literature that I read about the effects of yo-yo dieting and how it relates to pancreatic damage and insulin resistance. I wonder if your guests could comment on that.
And when you say you've been doing some reading, I take it you're in the profession?
I'm an obesity researcher.
Okay, Dr. Church.
The yo-yo dieting thing, the idea of losing a lot of weight and then putting it back on, there's been a lot of thought that actually in the long run is bad for your health. And commonsensically, you could see how it might be bad for your health. But the data is really mixed. You think it would be really strong to suggest that yo-yo dieting is indeed bad for you. But like I said, there are some studies that say it's bad for you. There are some studies that say it's not so bad for you. And I think a lot of it has to do with the idea that how people lost that weight. Did they lose it through healthy means or did they not lose it through healthy means? And if they probably did it not through healthy means, then yeah, probably yo-yo dieting would show up to be bad for you.
If it was, for example, liposuction as opposed to running the marathon.
Or let's say, an eating disorder.
Yes, also.
And
course,
I think
yes.
There's an important thing we need to shift the focus from weight, because it's really not about weight. It's about behavior, because weight is a reflection of behaviors. And those behaviors we need to be talking about is eating healthy, physical activity, and then you can never ignore, the smoking element. And that's what I tell people, just don't smoke, eat healthy, be physically active, and you're really going to improve your health kind of regardless of what happens to your weight.
And regarding David's specific question, he was asking about the pancreas. As I understand it, this study suggests that obese people are at greater risk for pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, and that's been demonstrated multiple times. Anything related to things that affect insulin or glucose metabolism put you at risk for pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get Jim on the line. Jim is with us from St. Louis.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what if you have to go into surgery? Is it helpful to be overweight at all if you're in surgery?
Wow, that's a great question. Generally speaking, once again, it depends on how the level of overweight. We know that clearly obese individuals and morbidly obese individuals are actually at much higher risk of bad things happening to them during surgery. Certainly, clearly, if you're very, very underweight and underweight because of an illness, then yeah, you are at higher risk. I don't know if I would necessarily put on weight for the sake of a safe surgery. I think that would be ill-advised.
Mm-hmm. But the extra weight is not a problem in surgery?
Well, if the extra weight, if you're talking about 5 or 10 pounds, probably not. But certainly when you start talking about 60 or 70 or 100 pounds, that's clearly a major issue with surgery.
All right.
Does it take energy for your heart to pump? Does your heart have to pump blood to fat cells as well as, like, muscle cells?
Or does.
I'm afraid so.
You think so?
Yes. No, I don't think so. I think so. I think Dr. Church knows so.
No, you are correct.
Thanks very much for the call, Jim.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to the next call, and this will be... this is Megan. Megan's with us from Syracuse, New York.
Hi. I'd just like to say, I don't think BMI is complex or confusing. I think instead it's oversimplified. It's simply an index that puts your gender against your weight, and it doesn't take into account height or bone density. I myself have been many years fallen into the category of overweight. And every day, I'm a professional truck driver. I get out of my truck, and men tell me how attractive I look. I'm not overweight. I'm not fat at all. I look really good. So, and people ask me, well, how do you maintain your weight in this profession where you sit all day, literally, and don't, get up and walk? And I do walk when I'm going out of the truck. But I really think BMI is just so antiquated. I don't think it reflects really what we should be looking at as far as who is unhealthily overweight and who is not.
That's when I know I'm getting old, is when stuff I can't figure out is antiquated already. Dr. Church, I wondered if you had a comment.
Well, there's a lot of points in there to comment on. I do think BMI is very confusing for the average person because you're taking their weight in kilograms, which we're not using. You're dividing it by their height in meters, which, once again, we don't using. And it's not just height. It's height squared. So you create this very artificial index, which, despite the fact that I work with BMI every day, if you show me three people sitting in the room, I can't tell you what their BMIs are by looking at them, but I can pretty much guess what their weights are by looking at them. So I think for the average person, BMI is challenging. I do think there is a better measure of fatness, though, and that's a good point. If you really want to know if your weight is putting you at risk, you need to measure your waist circumference. That's a great indicator of if you're carrying too much weight in the wrong places. Because it's not just how much you weigh, but it's where you weigh. And the weight in the belly really puts you at risk for things like diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And let me give you the numbers here. If you're a man, you don't want your waist circumference to be greater than 40 inches. If you're a woman, you don't want your waist circumference to be bigger than 35 inches. And the way you measure it is you find your hip bone, and just above your hip bone, go around your belly with a plastic tape measure. And to me, that's a far more important measure than, say, BMI is.
Hmm. Megan, thank
you. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Having ordered clothing from catalogs many times, I know how to measure my weight.
Well, no, it's not your waist you're used to. That's an important point. This is not the waist you're used to. We women think of their waist kind of as lower. This is on top of your hip.
No. The smallest part, above your hip.
It's not the smallest.
Yes, your natural weight. It's where an empire cut garment would be.
I think he's saying it's a little lower than that, just above the hips.
Just above the hip bone.
Okay. Megan.
I don't know what an empire cut is.
Thank you.
It's a cut of dress, but anyway. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I don't really know what it is either. Megan, drive safely. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking about a new study on health and weight. Our guest is Dr. Timothy Church. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email question from Amy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. How long did the study follow people? It would be beneficial in older age to be a little overweight when more prone to disease and weight loss, but not necessarily throughout life. Did the study question participants' weight throughout their life or only later in life?
It wasn't later in life, but it actually did look at it by age group. And once again, there's a few important points. It followed participants for quite a while. Some people on the order of 15, 20 years. There was actually multiple studies. And one of the important points from the study that they found was over time, the risk associated with weight has gone down. And I would attribute that to the kind of the advances in medical care, and particularly related to diabetes. We're diagnosing people sooner with diabetes. We have better medications to treat the diabetes. We treat the diabetes more aggressively. Now, aging and weight, that's really, really important. Because, once again, it's not modern medicine is going to get you to a long, ripe old age most of the time. But it's not how long you live, it's how long you live well. And we have a really unique circumstance that's heading in front of us, that's kind of in front of us right now. And that's the idea that we're going to have, obese elderly. And that's kind of a new concept.
Mm-hmm.
And important to that is we know that when you're older, we know that if you're obese when you're older, you have more disabilities, you have reduced quality of life, you're not able to do the things you want to do. And that is an instance where, some weight loss could actually improve your quality of life and maintain your function of life. And I think that's going to be an important and exciting research area.
All right. Let's see if we can go to this is Roger. Roger with us from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi there. I was just wanted to address that little overweight issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're a little overweight, it's because you're not obsessed with your weight. And you might be having a lot of fun.
Ah.
And you might be eating a lot of really good food. And when you talk about 1 to 30 pounds overweight, for an average weight of 200 pounds, you're talking 1 to 20 pounds, which means you might be dancing, you might be laughing, and you might be singing a little more than those people who are obsessed with how many ounces overweight they might be.
He's got a point. Maybe a degree of anxiety may weigh into this, too.
I think that's very nicely said. And also, some of us were just not born to be normal weight. you know, where do these normal weight categories come from? We have different color eyes, different color hair. You know, some of us just are going to have bigger bodies. So that's always bothered me about these mythical normal weight categories.
Roger, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. And we just have a few seconds left with you, Dr. Church. What, if we see the study in the paper, what should we take away from it?
Well, I think what we should take away from it, you know, is as it says, obesity's bad. Overweight may not be as bad as we thought it was, but at all costs, we need to avoid diabetes. How do you do it? What should you be focused on? You should be focused on behavior, you know, getting that 30 minutes of activity 5 days a week, eating a healthy diet. That means lots of fruits and vegetables. Don't smoking. And, you know, what we do so poorly as Americans is addressing stress.
Addressing stress. So take it easy a little bit. That might help, too.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Timothy Church, a physician researcher and director of preventive medicine research at Pennington Biomedical Research Center, with us today from the studios of our member station WRKF in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
Talk of the Nation is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can purchase transcripts of stories you hear on this program. Visit our website, npr.org, and click on Transcripts at the top of the page. This is NPR.